To be honest, I loved languages since I started my primary school. So, and I was the only adult for my family because my family no one of them can speak English. So, I did say to myself, I have to achieve this. I have to do it just in order to make my parents proud of me.
You're listening to Who Is My Neighbor? A podcast by You Belong Australia. Each episode, you'll join with Sorgul and Warren to meet some of Australia's newest neighbours. You'll hear their stories, listen to their hopes and dreams, and discover the incredible courage and inspiration they bring to our communities and richly diverse Australian culture. You'll also learn from some more established Aussies too and the joy they've found living and working alongside our refugee and migrant background neighbours.
Hello and welcome again to another episode of Who Is My Neighbour?
Today we're talking to a Yazidi young man, Farhan, and we're going to hear a little bit about his experience as a young man coming to Australia.
Yeah, we hope you enjoy his story.
Hi Farhan, thank you so much for coming and joining us in Who Is My Neighbour.
Oh, thank you, I'm glad to be here as well with you guys.
Thank you. Farhan, to start with, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, my name is Farhan Kadir. I'm originally from northern Iraq, a town called Shingal. Mm-hmm. I think it's become a famous after the event in 2014. Yeah. And I'm 19 years old, I'm a uni student at USQ.
Wow. So what are you doing at uni?
So I do a course which is an academic communication skills. Well, that will help me to communicate better in an academic method to just allow me to enter my degree, which is a law. Mm-hmm.
So you're entering into a law degree?
Yes, that's right.
What interests you about a law degree?
Well, I would say the advantages in my personality because I'm a good with speaking to people in communication, and I do speak a few languages, so you know that's helped me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. What language do you speak?
Well, I do speak Kurdish, Arabic, English, German, and Turkish.
Oh, that's a few.
How did you learn all these languages?
Kurdish, which is my first language, mm-hmm. and Arabic, it's my school from primary school, and Turkish back in Turkey because I lived in Turkey for 4 years. And the German happened due to the school there as well, because they used to put their German language as a circumstance in their schools. Yeah.
Oh, so you had to do it. So of all of those languages, which is your best language?
I would say Arabic, definitely.
Arabic, you said that with a bit of a whisper. So Kurdish is your first language,
yes.
It's your mother tongue,
the
language of your community.
It is.
And yet Arabic, is you're more comfortable with Arabic? You find it easier?
I am. Because I never write and read in Kurdish. So I start my school with an Arabic.
Yeah.
And I do speak Arabic better than Kurdish, even with writing, when I expressions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. I think here in Australia, of course, everybody goes to school and learns English, and it's just assumed English, English, English. But a lot of us only ever have learned one language. And you have multiple languages, but because your country has more than one language, that's the situation, isn't it?
Yes, that's the point there. So my community, all of them, they communicate in Kurdish. Well, most of them, they can read and write in Kurdish as well, but I am from the not the most. I'm from the other group who cannot, I just can't speak. I cannot read or either write.
Read or write. Okay. Well, that's really interesting.
Farhan, talking a little bit about when you came to Australia, so how long have you been here in Australia?
I've been here just for 2.5 years, approximately. I arrived in... since 2018, August. And to be honest, it was a challenging process to learn English first, to deal or cope with, the community, the culture here. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So maybe you could tell us a little bit about those challenges and how you really overcome the challenges that faced you. Because I've been through that same journey. Yeah. And probably it was a little bit different for me because I came here and I was speaking English already.
Yeah, I heard
so that. How did that feel like?
Well, mine, I came here with very limited English skills. I did not just like the greeting words or, you know. So I start with watching movies, reading books, very simple books, just to improve my English skills. And I did take the advantages of, as I said, I'm a good speaker. So I did take this advantage. I did communicate with many Aussie people, even with native English speakers on social media as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So obviously you've learned very quickly, so your English is very, very good.
Thanks.
I'm just wondering what sort of things you felt was for Aussies like me here in the community, how can we help people like you? What sort of things did Aussies do that helped you develop your language?
Yeah. Speaking not in a fast way, not very quickly.
Okay.
So that was a very helpful in the beginning. So that's helped me. And even some Aussie people, they try to learn other languages to make a cultural diversity here in Australia.
Yeah.
So that's helping the refugees or the non-English speakers.
Okay. So to start with, you found some Aussie friends who would slow down a little bit, speak more slowly.
Yes.
But now you're fine, right?
Yes, doesn't now I'm fine. Yes, with Aussie accent, so I'm fine.
So what about school? Did school help you at all in improving your English skills?
How did that go? It did. Well, first of all, before we arrived, they told me that you cannot go to the schools because you are 16. So I was a bit worried very worried about this situation. I said that I want to go to my school, continue my school, but after arriving they registered me in TAFE. But then I've heard from a friend that Toowoomba State High School, which is an amazing school here, they accept the refugees even if they are over 16. So I went there, I completed the forms, and I enrolled in some English languages classes. So that helped me a lot. So I'm very thankful to them as well.
Yeah. Wow. So you did the English language at the high school.
Yes.
And then you moved over to the university to go into the English.
Yes, only for like just a short period.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So 16, you came, you left your home country, you came here as a 16-year-old. Most 16-year-olds are playing games on their phones.
Yeah.
What was it like for you as a teenager to make that big shift?
To be honest, I loved languages since I started my primary school. So I was the only adult for my family because my family no one of them can speak English. So I did say to myself, I have to achieve this. I have to do it just in order to make my parents proud of me.
Okay.
So that's exactly.
Yeah. Wow. What a great son.
Thanks.
Farhan, we were talking a little bit just a few minutes before meeting you that how difficult it is sometimes to feel yourself under pressure just for learning a language because you have to learn it, be that a language of the country that you're living in, so you have to learn it. So obviously, since you arrived in Australia, you have been very busy with learning, improving your English skills, moving from TAFE to school, then after that to university. How does that all feels like being under pressure or putting yourself under pressure to learn the language?
To be honest, there is a lot of pressure there. But the thing is, it's worth while to just try to chase your dreams. I did learn just a simple English words, you know, and after that, I moved forward to learn better and better. Yeah, there is a pressure, but if you get support from family, friends, and you know, and English speakers as well, so you should be fine.
It's more of like motivating yourself and then becoming the inspiring person around your friends and family. That's really great to know.
Yeah. So English, obviously, very important. Living in Australia, you need to be able to speak English. And to get into university, you need to pass certain levels, right, of English to get in. And then you're hoping to study law. What other dreams do you have for the future?
Well, that's a good question. I do want to become a badminton player.
Oh,
wow.
Yes. And I do want to write my own book, which is will contain the social and family relations in between the native English speakers and my community, or the refugees in a one word.
So in obviously you've been thinking about this book. I'm fascinated by it. I look forward to reading it when you finish it.
Yes.
What sort of things made you think that you would want to write in a book like that?
The relationships. So for my mother, which is a very short story, she used to go to a PCYC market every Sunday.
Yep.
And she met a friend there, which is an Aussie. She sell a vegetable fruit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom cannot speak English at all. And she cannot speak Kurdish at all. But they are very close friends. So that's impressed me. So I just decided to write a book about those short stories.
Okay, so how it is that even with a different language, the connection is possible?
Yes, it is possible.
That's really an interesting story to hear, because I hear that sometimes in the community that with the language barrier, a neighbor who doesn't speak English and the Aussie or the Australian neighbor who doesn't speak the other language, and they're able to communicate in a way that you think sometimes language is not the main thing when you want to communicate and show the love and appreciation you have toward your neighbor.
Yeah.
That's really interesting to hear, because we have a lot of these stories in our community, and how interesting to know and to get to listen to these stories.
Yeah. So did your mum explain what her secret was, how she managed to make friends?
Well, because my mom, she's just a friendly person, so that's the point. Even the other part, which is the lady from Australia, she's a friendly as well. I met her 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we spoke about it, and she said that she loves my mom, and she never speak Kurdish, and my mom never speak English, so the story begin from here. That's why, that's how we make a cultural diversity.
I agree with you, Sorgul, that... there's so much in language is important, obviously, particularly if you're studying or if you're trying to exchange information. How much does this cost, for instance? That's kind of important information. But so much when we're talking, really what we're trying to do is to connect, to make friends, to somehow find some kind of, as you said, Farhan, to be loved and to love others. Socialization, that's right. Your English really is very good. and sometimes you don't really need the words.
Of course. Right? Humanity doesn't need a language. Its language is love, and how nice it could be to each other rather than having a language that you share and you try to communicate.
That's why we love to live in a culture diversity country or region.
That is awesome to hear, and I'm looking forward to reading your book.
absolutely let us know when you finished writing.
Sure.
No pressure, though.
Sure.
You take your time. You've got quite a lot to do. The other thing, of course, that we often talk about when you're talking about cultures connecting is the value of eating together.
Yeah.
And I know, because I have quite a few Yazidi friends, that Yazidis do like to prepare food for guests.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always found if you've got nothing to say, then eat the food. Because it's something we all do, right?
We all eat.
We all prepare food. We all see food as a gesture of kindness and hospitality. So when you first came here, you would have been in that situation, right? Where you didn't speak much English, but you were still making friends with people.
That's right. Even in school, I did make many friends. Now we still contact each other. We do go out, drink coffee together.
Yeah.
So that's, I think we don't need a language to make friends.
Yeah.
We have to be friendly to make friends.
Ah,
awesome.
That is good. You can put that in the book as well. I think that's...
Now, looking really at all the young, or most of the young people in our community, we see that so many times people are frustrated, people are finding it really challenging or difficult to integrate in the Australian community, sometimes due to the differences in cultures, languages as a main reason. Now you as a young person in the community who has done a great thing, has achieved a lot and still going ahead with achieving a lot in your life, do you think that would be a really good message to the other, you know, your friends, to the broader community, to just sort of, you know, be the inspirational or the inspiring person in the community?
I do my best to motivate my friends as well. I don't tell them in a straight way to become like me because everyone is different. So, but I tell them that it's something good if you learn a language, especially it's the official language here in Australia. So I do motivate them. Sometimes I do help them to write as short stories, sentences. So it's a good deal to learn a language to cope or deal with culture, a new culture, new communities.
And to just sort of start a new life.
Yeah.
I mean, Yeah. Very interesting.
So with your other friends from your community, from the Yazidi community here in Toowoomba, what sort of things motivate them?
Well, let me be honest in this point. I don't have an answer for this question because, as I mentioned before, everyone is different. But the thing is, unless you don't try, you wouldn't achieve anything. Mm. And experience come from the time that you give up, not the times that you just become successful. So if you succeed in everything, it wouldn't worth anything.
Yeah.
Farhan, one of the reasons that when we started with our conversation, I said, let's talk a little bit about the challenges that you face when you came here. Because most of the times, people don't see what challenges we have had, we've faced, and we've been through towards our, or in our journey to success. So many people see myself or see you, and they say that they have achieved a lot, and they've been really successful people in our community, or former refugees. That's why I feel like sharing the difficulties that we have probably inspire other people to see we have all been through the same journey. Yes. So we can all achieve a lot and be successful by the end of the day.
Yeah, I completely agree, Sorgul. I've never been a refugee, never been in that sort of a situation where I needed to be a refugee. And to see people who have been through that difficult journey and forced to leave as opposed to I've chosen to go overseas as opposed to being forced and then see the amazing things that you guys are doing. It's inspiring for me, absolutely, for sure. And chatting with you today, Farhan, has been very, very inspiring for me to see a young man who hasn't let the past become the thing that defines you. It's your future and you're looking for a future. I'm sure it'll be a very bright future.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Farhan. It was really nice to chat to you and get to listen to your story.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for coming. You too.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Welcome back. We hope you enjoyed hearing as we chatted with Farhan and heard a little bit about his background and his story.
Yeah. Well, Farhan reminds me much of my own story when I came to Australia and the challenges that we faced. How hardworking Farhan is and how he has been doing a lot to achieve his dreams and become a lawyer.
Yeah, I know. That's very often we hear about people and they, you know, have dreams and things. But I haven't heard of anybody who wanted to be a lawyer. And I thought, isn't that a great thing? Because everyone is different, right? Everyone has different abilities. And every community has people who will make great lawyers and people who make great doctors and nurses and teachers and politicians.
Of course, yeah.
It's great that they have the opportunity.
Definitely. Yeah. So talking about what really talking about Farhan's story, what is your impression? Okay. What would you...
yes. Well, I'm just so impressed that a person who, like Farhan, came to Australia as a teenager with very little English...
Yeah.
You would think that would just be such a huge obstacle and would have a significant impact. Farhan seems to have found within himself that motivation to not let those struggles get in the way, but not only to try to achieve his own goals, but also encourage other people to achieve their goals. And I was just very, very inspired and look forward to seeing what else Farhan achieves. He talked a little bit about his goals, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And he's planning to write a book. I can't wait to read that book. It's really, I guess, it's going to be a great step toward achieving the integration. Or, you know, we always hear about the integration. Mm-hmm. We always hear about how welcoming people are. On the other hand, how hard the refugees or migrants try to integrate and make friendships with the people of that country. Yeah. But if we saw all of that in a book, I guess it's going to make a really great impact on whoever is going to read that.
Absolutely. And it's those stories, isn't it? Like Farhan's mum and the shopkeeper down at the market. The story of how real people have made a friendship even though they don't speak each other's language. I'm really looking forward to hearing some more of these stories.
Same here, Warren. Yeah.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode and we look forward to seeing you next time on Who is My Neighbor?
See you next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Who is My Neighbor? To learn more about the work of You Belong Australia, just head to youbelong.org.au and find out all the ways you can get involved and empower refugees to integrate and thrive. Lastly, would you help support this podcast simply by sharing it with others? You can also write a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, or subscribe to us on YouTube. Yes, we are a video podcast as well. Well, thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Who is My Neighbor?